The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back, Buffalo Bills fans. It's Matt Warren, editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com and host of Buffalo Rumblings Q&A. We finally made it. We made it to the NFL regular season with a few days left before the start of the regular season. It looks like it is going to indeed kick off. We're not going to have a delayed season because of the COVID-19 pandemic, which is great news for football fans everywhere. As always, you can get your questions in to our show by calling 716-508-0405. We have two really good questions via the voicemail line today. You can always tweet us at RumblingsQ&A. That's with the word and spelled out in the middle. Email us, BuffaloRumblings@sbnation.com. Twitter messages, Facebook messages on the Buffalo Rumblings accounts. Instagram messages work. There's lots of ways to get in touch with the show. You can leave comments in the comments section of our show notes articles over at BuffaloRumblings.com as well to have your questions answered on air. The Bills had roster cut down over the weekend. They've got the Jets this week. There's so many topics up in the air. Let's get right to it. And let's head right over to the voicemail line at 716-508-0405.
This is David Summers from the Northern California Bills Packers in San Jose. And I was, with all the question about Gilliam making the team and what position he makes it at, it got me thinking, how big a difference is there between halfback, fullback, and tight end? I mean, they all can come out of the backfield and catch. They all can be given the ball to run. I guess, to me, the only real difference seems to be where they line up, less than skill set. What do you think?
Well, that's a great question, David. Thanks for calling in to the voicemail line. So Reggie Gilliam's number was changed last week, and his position, official position on the Buffalo Bills website, was changed from fullback to tight end. He's the only fullback slash tight end on the roster right now because Patrick DeMarco went on injured reserve for the entire season. It was before the roster cutdowns. So DeMarco's going to be done for the year. So back to Gilliam and the position he plays. Typically speaking, it has more to do with body type than anything else. Right now, Reggie Gilliam is listed at 6 feet tall. He's the shortest tight end in the entire league, so he doesn't really have a ton of ability to, say, go over the middle and make a catch over a linebacker or in traffic. He gets a little bit lost in the shuffle because he's so small. At the same time, he's not quite as thick as your traditional fullbacks would be as a lead blocker. Halfbacks typically operate a little bit on the edges of the offense. They don't necessarily go right up the middle as, you know, the bruising type of fullback. So it really has more to do with body type and what they're asked to do than it does anything else. So like halfbacks are bigger, so they can do some blocking. They can do especially blocks to the outside, like, you know, your sweeps, tosses. They can set the edge against linebackers. So they have some ability to, some lateral agility ability to get out into space and make blocks. as opposed to, say, running up and blasting a hole with a huge defensive tackle in the middle of the line. So I think we are going to see the Bills utilize that a little bit. They didn't use DeMarco on a ton of fullback snaps anyway last year, especially because their short yardage play is typically Josh Allen. It isn't a, you know, lead block from the fullback, blowing a hole, and you know, Franco running up the middle. Like, that didn't happen a ton last year. They used Josh Allen a lot more in the short yardage. So having a traditional fullback isn't necessary for the Bills' offense going forward. Having that halfback option to be able to get out to the edge and do some stuff like that, I think is really going to be beneficial for them. We'll see what kind of impact Reggie Gilliam has on the offense. Thanks, Dave, for calling in at our phone line at 716-508-0405. Let's stick in the backfield and go to a question from the comments section over at BuffaloRumblings.com on our last show notes article. Overdue Bills asks us, a lot has been said about Zach Moss's ability to pass block and catch the rock. Devin Singletary was underutilized last year, yet he had the highest percentage of 10-plus yard carries among NFL running backs. Who gets more touches in 2020, Moss or Singletary? And who plays more in the crappy weather of December? And who scores more touchdowns? Question mark. Lots of questions in there. So let's break down the Bills' running back depth here a little bit. I still think Singletary is going to get more carries, especially on like first down, second down. So I anticipate him having more yards and more touches just because he's going to get those first and second down reps. That doesn't mean that Moss isn't going to get the ball. He sure is. But especially how they kind of moved Singletary along last year as a rookie, easing him in to the offense, they're going to do the same thing with Moss this year. And Moss doesn't even have the benefit of playing preseason games. So if they bring him along slowly, say he gets, you know, very few carries in the first couple weeks, maybe they even make TJ Yeldon active on game day and give Moss fewer reps at the beginning of the year. As he gets his legs under him, literally and figuratively, into the season, you're going to see that go away and you're going to see him start taking over more of a role. But without a preseason, with an altered offseason, and based on what we saw last year with their rookie running back, you just can't imagine Moss having such a huge role right off the bat. So I think it's a very easy call to say Devin Singletary is going to get more carries, more touches in 2020. I also think that he's going to score more touchdowns. Again, we talked earlier about Josh Allen being the goal line back. He's got a ton of rushing touchdowns from inside the 5-yard line over the last few years. And normally you would give that to your, you know, ground and pound back, which would be Zach Moss in this case, and not necessarily Devin Singletary. So I don't think he's going to score on those short yardage touchdowns. Josh Allen is going to vulture those. And so I think that Singletary is going to score more touchdowns than Zach Moss. And finally, the third part of that question was who's going to be toting the rock more in December, the crappy weather. Moss makes more sense. Singletary did put it on the ground a lot last year. So if they did switch it over to Zach Moss, that would certainly make sense. Singletary in the snow makes guys miss, though. And so because he knows where he's going, but the defenders don't. So he can do a little bit more of the twitchiness to make more guys miss. So it might make sense that Moss and Singletary are split evenly in December with Singletary's fumbling problems if they persist into 2020. Thanks for letting me talk about the running back situation. And now we've hit all of the backs because I even threw Yeldon in there. We've got Gilliam, Moss, Singletary, and Yeldon. We didn't talk about Tywan Jones because he's probably not going to play on offense. So, but thanks for letting me talk about all those guys. That question came from Overdue Bills over in our comments section at BuffaloRumblings.com. We've got one Twitter question this week, so let's make it our Twitter question of the week. BMormon2020, why don't we have a punter on the practice squad right now? Well, I'm actually more worried about kicker than punter because that's points off the board as opposed to punter, which, you know, most of the time you don't need to use. So The Bills, in my opinion, should have both a punter and a kicker, or a guy that can handle both duties in an emergency situation on their practice squad. If a guy gets a positive COVID test on Saturday morning, which is the last COVID test before game day on Sunday, the Bills wouldn't have enough time to bring in another player and have him pass the COVID-19 protocols in order to be able to play on Sunday. So I think the Bills should have a punter and a kicker, or a guy that can handle both of those in an emergency situation on the practice squad. So this question came in response to a comment on how the Patriots don't even have a kicker on their active roster right now. They have two on their practice squad, and Bill Belichick is expected to promote one of them for his game on Sunday. So that's, I think, a smart move, having guys that can handle that on your practice squad that have already passed your COVID screening. They can just move up on a game day. So I don't know the answer to that. The Bills worked out three kickers this week. Maybe they'll sign one of them if they want to. The Bills have worked out several punters over the last month. They have a lot of information on the available punters right now, so they could add somebody right now if they wanted to, because they have the information that they need. Obviously, they're choosing not to do that. Maybe they're cross-training Tyler Bass to handle punting duties and Corey Bajorquez to maybe make field goals. That's more unlikely. But you can tell that the Bills aren't really concerned about it, at least right now. So we'll see how that shakes out. It might change over the course of the next few weeks. The COVID test rate is really low in the NFL, so maybe the Bills are banking on it staying really low. I'm more worried about their long snapper than the punter or kicker. If Reed Ferguson has to go out, who's their new long snapper? Because that can lead to some disastrous results. So they really need to be cross-training a second long snapper. And I'm sure they have what you would consider an emergency long snapper, but I want a guy that's doing it more than even just once a week in practice. I want a guy that's doing it every single day. Even if it's his only special teams duty, whoever the backup long snapper is, I don't know who it is right now, but if it's they don't run any other special teams, they're just practicing long snapping during special teams times, that would make me a lot happier. So those are where my concerns lie with the practice squad positions and the special teams. So thanks for the question over on Twitter, BMormon2020. We'll be right back after this quick break. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant, super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Let's go back to the phone line at 716-508-0405.
Hi, this is Andrew from Penn Yan, New York. I've got a kind of roster-related question for you. So my question is, who are the worst Bills players that ended up making the cut and making it on the team and actually playing in a game, right? For example, we could do this per position, right? Who are the worst Bills per position that end up making the team and actually playing? I'll give you the first easy one, quarterback Nathan Peterman. How about some other positions, other players? Thanks.
Well, thanks for the question, Andrew. And if I'm understanding it right, it's the worst players that ever made the Bills cut. And that's, I mean, it's a pretty long list. I mean, obviously, if you're, especially if you're talking about career arcs, guys that, you know, were young and we were hoping were ascending, but made the team and just turned out to be, you know, god awful. I used the example of Nathan Peterman making the team. He wasn't just making the team. He was named the opening day starter. Like, people think about and talk about Sean McDermott like he walks on water, but that dude made Nathan Peterman his opening day starter and then stuck with him for 30 minutes of football before pulling the trigger on moving over to Josh Allen after allowing his other veteran backup, AJ McCarron, to be traded away. So obviously mistakes were made, and you know, Sean McDermott doesn't really take any heat for those, but he named Nathan Peterman his opening day starter a couple of years ago. So that's neither here nor there. Yeah, absolutely. He's a guy that wasn't very good, but he has a place. Obviously, the Raiders are keeping him on the roster in Las Vegas, and you know, he must be good in the quarterback room, or, you know, be worthwhile in practice or running a scout team, or whatever it happens to be, because you know, he just keeps getting money and keeps, you know, finding a place in the NFL. So anyway, that's not really your question. Your question is like, who are the worst players to make the cut on the roster on the Bills over the last few years? I think the 2020 roster is pretty deep. We may look back on a guy like Reggie Gilliam and say, you know, what the heck were the Bills thinking with that guy? Or maybe even Tyler Bass, if he flames out in the NFL as a punter. Corey Bohorquez is someone that people are saying about that right now. Like, why can't we upgrade over Corey Bohorquez? But I think on the whole, the Buffalo Bills roster doesn't look like the guys you're talking about. So it doesn't look like any of them are like huge mistakes or, you know, super crappy or whatever. Looking back a year to 2019, I'm going to start at the offensive line and say a guy like Connor McDermott, who never really made it into an NFL game for any meaningful snaps, is a guy that I would put on that list. He just never developed though. Like, he was a guy they were trying to develop and he just never kind of got over the hump. So it's not like he was bad. It was just like he was developing to a certain point and then never advanced beyond that point. Maybe you could say that about Maurice Alexander a year ago, who was supposed to be a special teams contributor and linebacker, safety, coverage guy, but never really panned out. But those are both pretty weak answers. Let's look back to 2018 and just do the, you know, Bean McDermott era and keep going there. You had the aforementioned Peterman as the starting quarterback on the Buffalo Bills' initial 53-man roster in 2018. Wide receiver Kelvin Benjamin is another name that a lot of Bills fans will remember as a guy who didn't pan out and was very bad when he was with the Buffalo Bills. A trade from Brandon Bean that didn't work out in 2017. He made the roster in 2018. So did Zay Jones. The Bills running our wide receiver position. Here's the rundown of the wide receiver position in 2018. Kelvin Benjamin, Zay Jones, Andre Holmes, Jeremy Curley, Ray McCloud, and Robert Foster. Literally none of those guys are on the Bills roster now. And I think only two of those guys, Zay Jones and Ray McCloud, are on active rosters right now. And Ray was cut by the Bills just a few weeks ago, signed with the Steelers, and made an impression enough to make their 53-man roster. So good for Ray. But yeah, Kelvin Benjamin, Zay Jones, Andre Holmes, Jeremy Curley, Ray McCloud, and Robert Foster. Those are the wide receivers from 2018. And I think you could add the group as a whole onto the list. Here's another name, Kari Lee, the tight end that made the 2018 roster. Another guy that, you know, he had a role. It was just a super defined role. It's like having Lee Smith, but being like worse than Lee Smith. So he's another guy I would offer up for this list. And then finally back to 2017, you had TJ Yates and Nathan Peterman as your backup quarterbacks. I don't know if anybody's going to be up in arms to keep them off this list. Wide receiver, Corey Brown, Kalen Clay, Andre Holmes, Zay Jones, Jordan Matthews, Brandon Tate. Really, all of those guys could be added to this list for the Buffalo Bills, and that's saying something. So the Bills wide receivers, man, they were bad 2017, 2018. Running back, Joe Banyard. a guy that most of us probably forgot about. There's some guys on the defensive front that, you know, they were journeyman players. I don't know if they were necessarily bad. They certainly filled roles, and they were NFL caliber, or at least bottom NFL caliber players. But I don't know if they were bad necessarily. So I'm going to leave their names out of my mouth right now, just because, you know, they served their role. They had a place to play, and the Bills were completely rebuilding in 2017. I think I've hammered this enough. So let's move on to the next question. Thanks for calling in at our voicemail line at 716-508-0405. We're going to go back to email right now. Devin sends an email to buffalorumblings@sbnation.com. Is it realistic to expect the Bills to exercise the fifth-year options for both Tremaine Edmonds and Josh Allen, given all the upcoming salary cap constraints and current roster deficiencies? Not only do I think it's realistic, I think it's pretty darn likely. I think Tremaine Edmonds has been outstanding at such a young age and really grown into his role on the Buffalo Bills defense. I think he's a guy that you want to lock up long term. Josh Allen is a guy that I think they're probably going to give the fifth-year option to at this point in time. Even, you know, if he just stays the same way he's played so far, they're going to give him the fifth-year option, especially in the COVID offseason. It's a weird year. He would just really have to, crash and burn in 2020 to not get that fifth-year option. So, yeah, I think it's pretty darn likely that both of those guys get that guaranteed salary. And that they need to make that decision this coming spring before the 21 season. And that'll be for the 2022 season, which will be their fifth years in the NFL. So I think it's pretty likely. I don't think it's going to be too cost prohibitive for Edmonds, especially with how much he plays and how well he plays. Allen, of course, will be a pretty sizable contract on the fifth-year option just because he plays quarterback and it's an average of the top salaries at the position. So I think they'll be able to do that. It does bring up the Matt Milano conundrum. Do you want to pay Matt Milano knowing that you're going to have to pay Tremaine Edmonds down the line? And I think that is a legitimate concern. But I do think that Edmonds and Allen will both be on this team. I think that's the long-term plan. I think Milano should be as well. But if you look at a lot of the contracts they've passed out, they've got a lot of guys on two-year deals that include 2020 and 2021. To come off the books in 2022 when they have to pay those bigger salaries for Allen and Edmonds. So thanks for your question. And our email inbox, buffalorumblings@sbnation.com. And thanks for all the questions this week. We really appreciate the voicemails we received this week. We haven't had voicemails in a while. Email, comments in the comment section over at buffalorumblings.com. We got a lot of great questions this week from sources we don't always hear from. As always, you can also tweet us at RumblingsQ&A on Twitter. That's with the word and spelled out in the middle. Voicemail 716-508-0405. Instagram and Facebook messages. You can send us emails, buffalorumblings@sbnation.com. Please get in touch with us as the Bills enter the 2020 season with their game against the New York Jets this week. We'll be talking about an actual game during next week's podcast. So stay tuned and go Bills. We'll be right back.